The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
Hello, we're back with a season four. Hello, we've missed you, so let's start with a roar.
I like it.
Thank you, thank you.
Roar.
That's going to be our theme for going into this season. Let's go. I'm Julie Foudy. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Lynn Olzowie. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Julie. Are you excited to be back?
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, I've missed the dope village, and I think we are going into season four really wanting to continue the trend of trailblazing women, awesome stories, and just keep doing it bigger and better.
And we really do miss our dope village, because you need a lot of village and a lot of dopeness right now to get through 2020.
Yeah, that's a good point.
With that in mind, we think you will love everything about our first guest of season four. She is the Natalie Portman, an Academy Award-winning actor, filmmaker, activist, mom, author, and now, party people, fellow co-owner with Angel City, which is the new women's pro soccer team coming to LA in 2022. Whoop, whoop. She's actually currently in Australia shooting Thor 4. Love and Thunder is the official name. And spoiler alert, but well worth it, she becomes Thor. Yes. We actually caught up with her in Australia. Sadly, we're not actually in Australia. She is, as part of the ESPNW Virtual Summit as well. So get comfortable listening. It's Natalie Portman. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on trailblazing women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hi, Nat.
Hi, Foudy. How's it going?
Hi, darling.
I'm so happy to see you.
I have my noisemaker, which I stole from my child. Oh,
did you find one? I know. I
know. I just was like, and I found my 3-year-old has one, so it's good.
Aw. Okay, let's do this. Are you ready, Natalie Portman?
Yes, I hope. I think.
All right. So the first thing we always do, Natalie, on the podcast is we set the scene. So could you please, dear, set the scene, where you are, what you're doing, everything else?
I am in Sydney, Australia. I'm prepping for Thor 4, which is not going to be called that. It's called Thor Love and Thunder. And yeah, it's very beautiful here. It is morning, even though it's your evening, because that's how time zones work, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, enjoying this beautiful country.
Typically, you know, when we do these podcasts, we would do them in person. Like, we would be sitting in your dining room table in Australia. I would have sold that one hard to ESPN.
Man, I would make you dinner, man.
Right? We would have brought you vegan donuts, because I know you're a vegan. We always,
I'm
that's
vegan
part of
and
it.
And I love donuts.
I know. We actually, when I met you earlier this year, we talked about your love of vegan donuts. And so our friend Walter Robb sent me a whole like 5 dozen vegan donuts that I've been living on all through quarantine. I froze them.
He's really a good friend to have. He's introduced me to so many delicious things. He sent me vegan ice cream that was like unbelievable. So
this is the former CEO of Whole Foods. He is a good friend to have in the food category, yeah. In the vegan category.
Very, very good man.
Okay. I want more info on Thor. I know you probably can't say a ton, but like, I mean, you are becoming Thor. Like, that is crazy. How is that?
It's pretty exciting. I also love the concept that like a superhero can be like inhabited, that, you know, it's not like only one person necessarily can save the world, but everyone has it inside of them to like become a superhero is such a nice kind of concept to put out there.
I also like the idea that it's a female superhero, because there's a ton of those in real life. Why aren't we seeing more on the films?
Yeah, and it's starting to happen. I mean, obviously we're gonna get a Black Widow film soon, which is so exciting, and we've had Captain Marvel, and hopefully there'll be more standalone films for the women who are so incredible in the kind of male-centered films. It's definitely happening, and it's exciting to be part of that change.
Do you get to hold the hammer?
I do.
And be like, look at me now, boys.
That's exactly, you guessed the script, Julie.
Check me out now, bitches. I got the hammer. Come on. Please tell me that's in the script.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like basically all I say. You're psychic.
I knew it. I so knew it.
Have you picked up the hammer?
I have at the at Comic-Con when they announced it, they like put us all on stage and then handed me the hammer, and it was surprisingly heavy. I was like, oh man, I gotta hit the gym.
Oh dear. All right, let's shift to Angel City.
Oh,
and which I'm so excited about, fellow co-owners. And just to give our listeners and our viewers, because this is being live streamed for the ESPNW Summit, some context. Angel City is, of course, the women's professional soccer team coming to Los Angeles in 2022 is when we'll start play. And it's part of the NWSL, the Women's Pro League. And Natalie is not just an owner. Natalie is the godmother of this team. She is the catalyst. She is the woman behind this. Literally, like, let me go through this list of owners that Natalie brought together. I mean, just again, for more context, Kara Norman and Julie Ehrman are your two other kind of founding owners, along with Alexis and Serena Williams and their daughter, Olympia. And then you have all your celebrity friends. Eva Longoria, Jennifer Gardner, Jessica Chastain, Uzo Duba, America Ferrera. Should we keep going? Becky G. And then I brought some of my soccer friends. We've got Abby and her wife, Glennon. We've got Mia Hamm. We've got 14 U.S. women's national team players with ties to Southern California. So it's all these different silos and industries and rad, badass women coming together.
I get chills every time we talk about it. And I'm so grateful for this very unexpected but so meaningful kind of new part of my life, and also to be, you know, sharing this experience with so many just incredible humans. So it's been really, really exciting. One of the beautiful things to come out of Time's Up, which, you know, started inspired by the Me Too movement, to further safety and equity for women in the workplace, primarily women, but all marginalized people, because it's, of course, all the same concepts that no one should have anything other than a safe, dignified, equitable workplace.
Right.
And it was the first time that we gathered across industry. So women from entertainment, women from tech, business, advertising, sports, which I guess is part of entertainment, also medicine, like in healthcare. So it's been so incredible to hear how many similar challenges, right, creative solutions to those challenges people have figured out in different fields. And the first time we kind of put our heads together, and when we heard from Abby Wambach spoke at one of the conferences, and she was talking about her experience, as you well know, you know, being this really virtuosic player at the top of your field in the top sport, most popular sport in the world, and not being compensated on any scale close to the male counterparts, not getting anything like the visibility or airtime or journalistic coverage of your male counterparts.
Yeah.
Sports are so crucial to our culture, especially in the United States. I think sports are really, really central. And we have the best players in the world, in the most popular sport in the world, in our women's soccer players in the US. And we are not, it's like an underutilized resource that we have. And also what a culture shift it would be if we could amplify, I mean, the existing talent and just be like, this needs to be prime time. You know, this needs to be Lakers, you know, Showtime-esque of like, who's in the audience, who's watching, who's cheering, how important these players are to us in our community. And it's so exciting to do it in LA, because Southern California.
If I could hug you right now, I am right to the screen. I would like be climbing through the screen, hugging you right now.
Well, I would.
But Natalie, for you to go from hearing Abby speak about that and feeling like, oh my gosh, this is this underutilized resource here in our country with how good these women play, how successful they've been, to literally, and I'm not just talking about, hey, this is an idea I want to bring. You didn't just throw the idea out to Care Nortman, who you knew from Time's Up, I know, and say, hey, you know, here's an idea. And then, as most people do, go, okay, great. And then they walk away. You went to pitch meetings, you're engaged, you were all in on this.
Yeah, but I think that that's also the benefit of bringing women from different sectors, because I would never know how to do anything on my own. Like, I show up to work and say lines other people write for me. Like, I don't know how to start something like this. So to have met Kara through Time's Up, and she, if people don't know, Kara Nortman is a very successful venture capitalist in Los Angeles, supports many startup founders, and she brought Julie Ehrman, who's this incredible—
Jules number one, I call
entrepreneur.
Her.
Entrepreneur, yes, I love that you call it that, but I think there's just, you know, Director Jules and Jules, you know, sports legend. And Julie has been just an incredible engine behind it. And mm-hmm. she figured out how for us to get the, you know, franchise, you know, and I'm always there, of course, to support, but they were the ones. And that's the joy. I think everyone within the team has, and I mean, not the players, obviously, team, but the like behind the scenes team, has their own superpower, and it's been really complimentary. And also, again, one of these really rare benefits of having people across industries meet. I don't know when that would have ever happened before.
Yeah. And so fun. I mean, it's such a neat group. How hard was it in terms of selling it to your friends, to pitch meetings? I mean, were you surprised at how quickly, or maybe not so quickly, people responded?
I was surprised by how hard it was. There were certain people who surprised me in the most beautiful way of just like being like, I'm in, you know, like Eva Longoria was like, I'm in, what do you need? I want to be there. She's just like a boss. But then I would say more on the side of like institutional people, like when you, they were really, really hesitant and reluctant. And it just seemed like such, it just seems so clear that it's so undervalued that from a business perspective, and I'm not a business person, so that's probably why I'm missing why they were so hesitant, maybe, or maybe it's just purely, you know, prejudice. But I felt like, oh my God, this is really popular. Like people really love it and nobody's providing it. Like during the Women's World Cup, you couldn't buy t-shirts at the Nike store with like Alex Morgan or Megan Rapinoe's name on it. It was crazy. You're like, why wouldn't you just take advantage of this opportunity? These people are big stars.
And it happens all the time, like that kind of stuff where you're like, why are we still in a place where they're undervalued in a sense of like, there's such a demand and yet we're not providing for it. So,
Yeah, but usually you feel like the market like would dictate what people want to put on the air and what people want to sell, but it doesn't feel like that for this, which does make you feel like it's simply prejudice because you're like, okay, you could actually succeed a lot. Like you could do well by, you know, putting this out there more. So hopefully that's the, you know, that's what we aim to do is show how this can be a success.
Different.
Successful,
yes,
rewarding experience.
Well, what's so cool is that you have brought these individual powerhouses together. And I have heard that there was a Zoom call with the owners recently. Please tell me everything about it. How cool is it to see all these amazing people pop up onto the Zoom call? And I would imagine for you to see that, that had to be really, you talk about chills, like rewarding.
It was one of like the most meaningful things that's happened, certainly during quarantine, but you know, so many of our gatherings right now are serious and, you know, there's political organizing when people are gathering online right now, it seems, or there's school gatherings to figure out what, you know, how we can support our kids, which is all very important, but also very serious, I feel. And this was so joyful. It just felt so positive. And so many people I deeply admire in one place at one time, getting to hear their contributions and their dedication and, you know, everybody there for the right reason and for deeply believing in the mission of it. And also one of the most important things that I'm really excited about and that I think so many of us are is our involvement in the community. We're partnered with LA84 to provide access to sports for less privileged kids in Los Angeles. And that is part of the one of the most meaningful parts, I think, of the whole venture.
I loved that moment. I forget who was saying, hey, we've got something happening in LA with, you know, this Boys and Girls Club or some, you know, Latina institution. And would anyone want to, you know, or they were just actually saying what it was. And America Ferrera was like, can I go? Can I show up? And I was like, oh my God, I love this. And they were like, oh yeah, you can for sure.
America is one of the most incredible humans and is so capable of doing 1,000 things and being really effective at all of them. And she is so deeply good and was raised in the LA public school district, and as was Becky G, and they were both talking about how much they were excited to give back, particularly to young girls who are growing up in the same schools that they did. And support their love of sports. Cause I mean, we've been learning that girls drop out of sports for so many reasons. And they said the most common one was they couldn't get sports bras. So they tend to drop out when they, you know, come of age. And things like that just should not be obstacles. Right. Hopefully we can make some impact there and also create a new generation of heroes for them to look up to and see what's possible in their own city.
And create a new playbook for others to replicate, right? Like, why does it have to be limited to, you know, soccer? You could do this with women's teams in basketball. And I'm already getting friends from like Northern California calling saying, how did Natalie do it? And I was like, I don't know. She's amazing.
No, we're so excited. There's groups already forming in other cities that have been connecting with Julie and Kara on like sort of the playbook of how to do it for other franchises in the NWSL for soccer. There's people who we've talked to who want to do it in the WNBA. I mean, I had no idea this is the first professional sport with a women-led ownership and leadership group of any sport, male, female, any sport. Right. It's also incredible. Women's soccer, women's lacrosse league, and softball league that just started, which is really exciting. I mean, I think it's happening. I think it's really, it makes sense. I mean, I think Title IX helped create like a really like masterful generations now of American female athletes with no real road to professional success in many sports. I mean, there's been very few sports that have actually like fostered that incredible talent.
They're like mighty Thors waiting to wield their hammer.
They are.
Look at me now.
The funniest part of it is like, I'm the least athletic person you've ever met. Like, I've never played a sport. Like, all my friends are like, how did you end up in this position? But I admire it so much. And I think it's really important. And I think to me, watching my son during the Women's World Cup, idolizing Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, as much as Messi, that made all the difference to me. I was like, that's how you raise the next generation of boys to look at female athletes with no difference. Yeah. They just want to watch incredible talent.
Yeah. Amen to that. Isn't that the truth? All right. In all that you have done, I mean, and the list is long, from Academy Award winning actor, filmmaker, director, author, we'll talk about that in a little bit, activist with Time's Up, as you were discussing, mom, owner of a women's pro team, Harvard graduate. What is that common thread that's the spark that drives you or the emotion that drives you in all of that?
I think inspiration, maybe. I'm not a very like planned person. I kind of do what moves me in the moment. And then try and stick with it. So I guess inspiration and then dedication or perseverance through whatever you need to like get through it. But I don't know. I mean, that's kind
of what creates that inspiration. Do you find a common thread?
It's gut. I don't know. It's gut. And I think it's, I've certainly made mistakes along the way and done things that weren't meaningful to me. But I think in terms of the things I'm proud of, it was always when I was genuinely like passionate and enthusiastic and like, it just felt like I had to do it. I had to be part of it. Those are the things, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I guess it's just instinct, but then commitment to it after, because most great things take a lot of commitment and a lot of bad days to get to the good days, I guess.
You seem to jump into a lot of causes that involve making a change. What gives you the courage and confidence to do that?
The whole experience of Time's Up, I don't really think I was like loosely involved in sort of like nonprofit work before, but I hadn't really been active in like organizing anything. And the whole experience of the creation of Time's Up and the birth of that, which was many, many women together, but being part of that made me realize, okay, now I'm at the stage where it's, you kind of have to be willing to put your neck out and have people criticize you and have people not like you, which I think for women particularly can be really, scary, because we're so taught to, you know, be pleasing and be liked. And when you're leading, it's inevitable that people are not going to like you. Like, that's like the biggest part of leading, is that you're going to get a lot of criticism and a lot of people are going to complain. And, but that you can make big impact by kind of dramatic cultural shift. And it combines the sense of what I do in my work as an actor, that you have to be kind of theatrical about it. Hmm. But that you can make big change through like one well thought through cultural moment. And you can really change things drastically, more than years of having like polls and data and, you know, suggestions and meetings. Like, one big cultural moment can like rapidly accelerate evolution of thinking and of culture.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what we're living through.
Yeah.
Well, the 1999 World Cup pops into my mind too.
Totally. Totally. And that was, I mean, I'm definitely influenced by the fact that, you know, that happened when I was 18, you know, like that was definitely emblazoned in my memory as like, oh, the US women are just like virtuosic mega superstars. And then it was so shocking to hear 20 years later that there was not a solid career path for those women in this sport.
Right, right. If we turn the page and go back to your film career, and when you started as a child acting and got into it. But is there something, when you look at that journey, there's a piece of the puzzle that you figured out that maybe people didn't see and didn't recognize, but you've now figured out through this journey?
What do you mean? A piece of the puzzle?
About what? Yourself, about what you personally and your acting career.
No, I mean, it's strange to go from a child to an adult in a work setting, because it's almost as if you like lived at home your whole life or something, and then had to like renegotiate with your parents or something that like, I'm not a kid anymore. And I kind of had to do that in my head, I think, on set, because I still, like, I was so used to being the kid on set and doing what I was told and, you know, just
interesting, right? Like having to shift to, no, actually I'm an adult now.
Yeah. And like, I was the youngest person at work for 20 years or something, not 20, but I mean, I was probably until I was 21. So that's probably like 10 years. So like a decade of being the youngest always at work, to suddenly being like, oh wait, I'm the grown up. Like, right. I'm the one who needs to set the tone. I'm the one who needs to like speak up. I'm the one who, you know, I have power if something is, I feel should be different. And so that was like a big thing to navigate and to realize, I guess, because
how did you realize it? Did it just come to you like that? Or did you all of a sudden go, wait a second, I got to be the adult in the room?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was late for me. I think I was a late bloomer. And it was like, I remember in my 20s being on set with other actors, and they would notice that, like, if I was cold, I wouldn't say I was cold. Mm. And they were like, why aren't you just telling someone you can, like, get a blanket or a heater or something, you know? And I was like, oh, you can do that? Like, I was so, like, the good kid, you know, who was just like, I don't want to make, you know? And so it definitely, I was definitely like a late bloomer, but I don't think there's many careers like that. Like, I mean, when you think about the young athletes, like the gymnasts, for example,
right,
they're finished. They're not like competing.
Shoot, they're 20 and they're like, you're way too old. Simone,
yeah,
Simone
they
Biles
go into
is like
something else, or they're not. There's very few things that
right.
you do professionally as a kid that you also do as an adult. And it's definitely weird to have that transition.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that before. That's fascinating.
How about you with like transitioning into a whole new career? Like, what was that like?
Natalie, I'm asking the questions here, Natalie.
I'm curious though. Okay, maybe we can have like a part two. This phone call. No,
it's hard. But the thing with me is sports was never, it didn't define me. I was never just a soccer player. I had all these other interests, and I loved politics, and I loved, wonky things. And I had all these different interests outside of sports. And so when I was actually ready to walk away, I was like, get me out of here. I need something new. I needed like a new adventure. I mean, I played on the national team for a long time. So, and I think, and I've actually heard you say that about your acting, that it wasn't just my acting that I had. Like, you know, I had friends outside of acting, and my parents always put a great emphasis on education. And I thought, oh my God, that is very similar to my soccer, right? I wasn't just a soccer player.
Yeah, I think it always makes you like more creative and capable in whatever you're doing if you have other things. And also you don't put too much weight on it, which can be overbearing. Like if you put too much pressure on yourself in your career, then that can be really destructive actually. And it's good to know like, oh yeah, I have my family and my friends and all these things I love and I'm curious about and interested in outside. If it all went to shit, you know, I'm okay, you know, and kind of being relaxed about it makes you more capable of like doing well, I think.
So while all of us are stuck in this dark hell that is 2020, you, my friend, have somehow been able to shine light, right?
Thank
Obviously,
you.
All that we've been able to do with Angel City, you're over there shooting Mighty Thor, and your book, your first book, a children's book,
yes.
Natalie Portman's Fables, just came out. Yay, there it is. Let me see it. Put it
It's
close.
Such an incredible feeling to like when the actual tangible book comes. It's so exciting.
Yay, congratulations.
Thank you.
What was the inspiration behind a children's book?
So it was similar, actually, origins to the soccer team, where I just saw my son and my daughter, they received books, you know, when they're born, when they have birthday parties, people give books as presents. And my son got like all these kind of like the classic normal books. And my daughter got like all of these like feminist baby books. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, the boys need it as much, if not more, than the girls do. And second of all, like, I'm not sure they understand, like, girls have these obstacles, like, they have to overcome them. It seems a little complicated. But then the classic books, which of course I would then read to my daughter, but I became more aware that almost all of the characters were male.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what are we teaching boys and girls if they're only hearing male stories? And we're saying, these are the ones you should care about their feelings. So I thought, what if you take classic stories and just make them look like the real world where it's about half and half? And so, you know, I rewrote the Three Little Pigs where The wolf is female, one of the pigs is female, one is male, one is like a non-binary. But you just, you know, it's just a matter of pronouns. And I had been doing it in all the reading with my children, just changing them myself. And I thought, what if we just made a copy of these stories that people could read? And it's like gender safe, that you're not putting in boys' or girls' minds that male stories are prioritized. And I chose all stories with animals because they're, I think it gives kids like equal access points to relating. Whereas, I don't know, when I was a kid, I would always be like, brown haired girl, that's me, you know? Whereas if it's like, you know, a tortoise and a hare, all kids are kind of equally inspired to be like, oh, that's the one that I'm like.
What don't you do, Natalie?
I know.
Incredible.
Oh my God. I love when the tortoise, I mean, not the tortoise, the hare, the fast one, the hare was like, I'm just going to go hit this dance party. It's fantastic. I'll be able to see the tortoise when
my daughter loves that page more than anything. It's got all the like bunny dance moves.
Yeah. And your illustrator, Jana
Mattia.
Yes. It was fantastic. It was really good. Really,
she's
good.
Incredible. Yeah, she came up with such amazing, like, hidden little nuggets there for kids to find. My daughter's been having so much fun finding. There's like, you know, there's like a porcupine making balloon animals.
Oh, really? Oh, like, I gotta go back and look for that. That's good. I love that. I didn't know that. All right, Natalie, I am going to warn you. I am still very competitive. Are you ready? Did you bring your squeaky toy or noisy toy?
I stole this from my three-year-old.
Yes. Okay, good. Oh, that's going to, it might drown out my donut.
My is that a dog toy?
Yeah, my vegan dog toy.
So this is for the game. We play a game every podcast. Julie goes up against the guest. And here are the rules. There will be 5 questions, all multiple choice. If you think you know the answer, you can make your noise at any point to answer the question. Today's theme is know your fellow owners. So all of these questions are about Angel City owners.
Okay.
Okay.
Question 1. Uzo Aduba won an Emmy for her role as Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black. She also was a standout in this sport in college. Was it A, track and field, B?
Track and field!
Correct.
Yes!
Oh my gosh! So good! So
Let's
fast!
Let's go, Nat! Let's go, Nat!
Oh my God, I gotta up my game. I was gonna listen to all the choices.
I had heard her track story from Beckaroo. Okay, go.
Question 2. What musical instrument has Jessica Chastain said she can shred on? Is it A, drums, B, a Gibson guitar, or C, a ukulele? Natalie.
A ukulele?
Correct.
Oh!
Question 3. How many major tournaments has Serena Williams won in her tennis career?
Oh,
is it A, 23, B, 12, or C, 24? Oof. Julie.
I got to work on my squeaky noise. I'm going with 23.
Correct.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. I got
That's
so
a good
lucky
one.
There. I got so lucky.
Question 4. Eva Longoria has a Bachelor of Science degree in physiology. She also has a master's in what field of study? Is it A, women's studies, B, Chicano studies, or C, English lit? Natalie.
Women's studies?
Incorrect.
Oh, rough.
What were my two options? Other two options?
Chicano studies or English lit?
Chicano studies.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry, Natalie, but I'm going to win the first game.
I mean, I should know better than to go against like an Olympian World Cup champion, like, you know, whatever.
Okay, I just get so excited. Lynn gets uncomfortable with my celebration, but I was like, listen.
This is what sports does for women. It makes them succeed.
Thank you. you.
In everything, every walk of life, every challenge.
Okay, next segment, most pressing questions. Are you ready, Natalie?
Yes.
I've got to find them first. They're that pressing. Okay, and if I can read them. Favorite film you've ever done?
Jackie.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to say Black Swan.
I love Black Swan too. I mean, it's hard to choose one.
Okay, real quickly, why?
It was just like a super creative experience and amazing group of people working together.
Hardest role you have ever played?
Probably also Jackie.
Really?
It's just like so much grief and like it was heavy and yeah, a lot of work, like a lot of research and stuff.
Well, plus like everyone knows about Jackie's life. They've seen video of her and footage of her, right?
It's getting her voice scary,
right, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like scary to take on someone who's so well known.
I'm not sure if you've heard this yet, but there is a film coming on Netflix of the 99ers.
Very exciting.
Which 99er would you like to play?
I think I'm like way too old to play anyone. Way too old and not athletic enough, but I'd be super excited to see, the young athletic actresses who will take on those roles.
All right, I'll let you off the hook there. Lynn and I are big fans of the SNL Natalie Raps.
Thank you.
Can you please confirm there is going to be a Natalie Raps 3.0 coming at us soon?
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we should do one for Angel City.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that'll be next edition.
But you're like, that all came about because you're like a big fan of rap, I heard, right?
I do love rap, yeah.
And some hardcore rap. You want to, what do you call it? I mean, what do you call it, Lynn? Spit us a little rhyme or spin us a little beat. What did you say, Lynn, before?
Spit a rhyme.
It's too dirty. My children might listen to this one day, but
her name is Nat. She is all that.
Thank you.
If you don't believe her, she'll take you to the mat.
There you go. We got some freestyle here.
She's gonna be mighty Thor, so suck on that. All right. Our last game is called High Low Cheer. It's a segment, not a game. Okay. And this is something that I do around the dinner table with my kids. And we do their high of the day, their low of the day, and someone that they cheer for, someone who's helped them along the way. So this is going to be the high of your career, the low of your career, and the cheer is for someone that you're grateful for who's helped you along your way.
Okay. High of my career. The whole Black Swan experience, if I can make it like one thing, I met my husband, I ended up like, having our first child, like, you know, in the time of, having all the success with the film. So that was, I think that would be my high.
Awesome. Love it. You're low.
And then low. Low of my career was, I had a film that I was also a producer on that just went like horribly wrong. Like everything went wrong and it was horrible. Like it was, I mean, for years after I was kind of like traumatized by it and really just, it was just like really not pleasant.
Like, not I pleasant. Didn't even get anything out of it in terms of lessons learned. It was that.
I think
unpleasant.
It just gave me more appreciation and respect for when things go well and how kind of miraculous it is when everyone is like kind and hardworking and responsible and doing their work and working together. And you get that extra little magic of like, you know, team energy, which I'm sure on the field, there's like, you know, games or teams, I guess, that, you know, you have that magic with, and then games or teams that are just not, don't have the magic.
Yeah.
That was a hard one for sure.
Okay. And your cheer?
My cheer, I had a mentor in Mike Nichols, who is also like one of the great minds and hearts, and certainly a very comedic voice, a very important comedic voice, very important just brain in our industry, who was a real mentor. And I think we definitely should talk a lot about the great men who also help foster women's development and careers and encourage them. And he was absolutely that for me. He would really go out of his way to help guide me or be a sounding board for important decisions, or also gave me some really important early creative opportunities that were very impactful for me.
What film was that you worked with him on?
So we actually first did a play together. I did The Seagull with him when I was 19 years old in Central Park, which is the coolest, you know, how they have free theater in the summer.
Out in the open air.
Yeah, so that was incredible. I mean, it's like the greatest play of all time, and one of the great roles. And it was the cast that was like, it was insanely dreamy. It was Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Marsha Gay Harden and John Goodman and Christopher Walken and Kevin Klein. It was like insane. It was just such an unbelievable opportunity at 19 to just watch everyone, not to mention like be on stage with them and doing theater for free, which just is like, what higher service and like pure intention can you have? And then we did a film called Closer together when I was 21 or 22. I don't remember how, I think it was 22.
Yeah.
We did that film. And then he just, you know, all between after, you know, until his passing, was a very important mentor. Did you have someone like that in your life?
Yeah, I've had, you know, Billie Jean King, who I'm going to spill the beans, is going to become an owner of Angel City as well. That's not news yet.
She is just the greatest.
Yeah, her and her partner Alana are going to become owners of Angel City as well. But she, from the mid 90s, like when I was in my 20s with the national team, was super instrumental in like how we shaped the team and what we did off the field in terms of our fight for, back then we were fighting for equitable pay. Now, understandably, it's equal pay. But just, you know, marketing money and support staff and all those things that go into it. She was huge. And it reminds me very much of, you know, when you said, let's get a women's team to LA, it wasn't just like, hey, you know, let's do this. And then you walk away from it. She said the same thing to me, like, Julie, what are you doing about it? And, you know, change it. And then stood, you know, with us, helping us along the way, which is tremendous. So she's a dear friend. I love her dearly.
She's made such important changes that affect all of us, and so lucky. And I'm so excited we're going to get to like hang out when the games, we're all going to be in the box together.
We're going to be BFFs. Yes.
Ah, obviously. Aren't we already?
We're already there. Of course. That's what I tell everyone. I'm talking to my BFF, Natalie, today.
Yeah.
Thank you for the gift that you are and all that you've given us in so many different areas beyond your acting and all the different things you do. And I can't wait to start this journey and adventure with you. And
thank you. Feeling is mutual, and so grateful to all that you do and have done. And I'm excited that we are partners in this new adventure.
Knew we were BFFs. I mean, let's be clear.
And you legitimately have been saying,
my
I just
BFF.
Got off the phone, or I was just texting with my friend, my BFF, Natalie Portman.
When she said that, I was like, see, I knew it. Oh, I love you, Natalie. so fun. Too bad we really couldn't be in Australia. That would have been nice.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Right?
Yes.
She really has said it is fantastic over there, as we know. All right, takeaways, Lynn. What do you got? You want me to go first? You want to go first?
I can give you my takeaway. Right. I think that it is how everything starts with an idea, and then it's the courage to go after it. Mm. How many things has Natalie done where just she had this idea and she went for it? And then she did talk about how it takes a lot of hard work. You can't just have the idea without the hard work. Mm-hmm. The other takeaway is just me wondering, how can I get tickets to Angel City? Can you hook me up?
I'm not sure if I know anyone there. Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
I'll see if I know some people in right spots. Talk to my BFFs. yeah. And as we said in the podcast, I mean, having an idea and then actually moving on that idea, which is what I find most remarkable. Plus, my takeaway is, I mean, she's this huge Hollywood star and she's done all these things. And yet she is so grounded, so kind, so giving of her time. And just, I mean, to be as committed as she has been in this process.
With the team,
with women's soccer, which she had no affiliation with before. When you think about that, but she just cared so deeply about helping women when she heard Abby give that speech that I am committed to doing this, to your point. It's not just an idea. I am all in. Mm-hmm. And that to me, it's like, I'm pounding on my heart right now. Like, it warms my heart when you see people like that, that care so deeply about giving back and knowing they have a platform to do so. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Natalie. Love you, sister. BFF. We should note, actually, that we are together for the first time since March. Socially distanced, of course.
We're being very safe about that. That's super important to both of us.
But Lynn saw the light finally. And I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you. I'm in Southern California.
Oh, yeah, you are. Shred the gnar.
I reached out to a friend of mine who happens to moonlight as a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. She's also in the room with me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to get a badge for that. My real estate badge.
I said to you, I'm going to be a little bit brave. I'm thinking maybe I come out to Southern California for a couple of months. I'm here and it really is, it's wild to be in the same room with you.
I know. It's nice, finally. You will be getting barreled by the time you leave in 2 months. That means on a wave. That not doesn't mean in a wine barrel.
In a wine barrel. That might happen too.
Yeah, we could absolutely do that as well. Questions permitted, Lynn.
This is a fun one. I reached out to a friend of ours, a friend of the pod, Kelsey Trainer.
Oh, Kels.
She came up with some awesome questions. I'm just going to do one.
Oh, dear.
It's a fun one because I know you like fun questions for questions permitted.
There's nothing fun about me.
What is your perfect drink and food combo?
Kelsey. I would say a little donut and coffee is like, I'm mm-hmm. good. I'm pretty, I could go 3 meals a day on that.
I could have sworn you were going to say tacos and margaritas.
Oh, Moscow mules maybe even right now. I'm 7 months into the quarantine. Wait, how many months are we into this? I don't know.
Yeah, seven-ish.
I'm not tired on my Moscow mules. What does that say about me?
I think it's only gotten stronger.
I'm a little concerned. Literally, I cannot find any more of my diet Bundaberg ginger beer that I have to like order it like from Russia or Jamaica or wherever it's made. I don't know. I have to like Amazon ship it out because it's all sold out here. I'm that desperate.
Do you want to know my combo?
Yeah, what's your combo, Lynn?
Angie's Pizza, cheese pizza, and a Coke.
Not Diet Coke? Coke.
Regular Coke.
It's a lot of sugar.
It's heaven.
Heaven. Okay. That's good living right there. Thank you, Kelsey, for that. One day I'm going to find out what yours is, sister. And just a reminder, you can send in, had we been organized enough before our first pod, to ask you for questions, send in questions, because questions are also permitted on this podcast.
You can do that via Twitter, There's also Instagram. Find us somewhere. We read everything. Comments on Apple Podcast page.
And with that note, like, encourage people to listen to the podcast, because every friend you tell always helps. So we appreciate our dope village. And we also want to thank our podcast sponsors for season four, Ally Bank, who our dope village knows has literally been with us since day one. Before we even had a podcast, they were like, we are in. We yep. love it. So thank you, Ally Bank. And our newest podcast sponsor, drum roll, please, Dick's Sporting Goods. And we've gotten to know them and their team, and they are amazing and all in. Love yes. our vibe, love our community. So please support both of them. We'd greatly appreciate that. It is indeed great to be back. It's going to be a crazy month ahead. So make sure we're taking good care of each other. All right. Eat a lot of donuts and drink a lot of coffee and vote. Pass on kindness and grace amidst all the noise, because we can do this. And as always, a thank you to our Julie Foudy Sports Leadership Academy alum, Kate Diaz, for our laughter permitted theme music. She wrote and composed that music herself. So go check her out. And finally, remember, kids, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like basically all I say.
Wake up to the best sports story you'll hear all day. Monday through Friday, host Pablo Torre brings you an inside look at the most interesting story at ESPN as told by the top reporters and insiders. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe and listen along with Laughter Permitted wherever you get your podcasts.